Hi, my name is Ben Glens. I'm a Microsoft MVP for Cloud and Data Center Management. Today's March 28, 2016, and you're watching the sixth video in a series covering Azure Automation Desired State Configuration. We have seen in an earlier video that configuration scripts can be uploaded to the automation account and then can be compiled into node configurations, or MOF files if you will, by starting a compilation job. In this video, I'll expand on this and cover advanced configurations. Azure Automation DSC provides us with a lot of options, so let's get to it. As with the previous videos, the code within the setup region is already loaded. My automation account is already captured inside of this variable, as you can see here. This time, I also created a little helper function to assist me with waiting for the compile jobs to finish. The function takes in a compilation job, and it will sleep for a specified period of time until the compile job actually has an end time or has an exception populated. And then if the pass-through switch has been specified, the updated compile job object will be passed on the pipeline again. So we're going to start looking at the configuration parameters. Let's open it up. So as you can see, this configuration has a couple of parameters which it will take in, a couple of them mandatory as well. We have a first name, a last name. We have an age parameter of type integer. And we have an override parameter of type Boolean. So this configuration doesn't suit any real purpose, but it does show you how Azure Automation DSC handles parameters. So let's load it into our automation account first. To do that, we use the import Azure RM Automation DSC configuration commandlet. And now we have it imported. Let's have a look. As you can see, the parameters associated with this configuration actually show up in this parameters property. You can see age, override, first name, last name. Also, if we go in the portal and we look at the DSC configuration, let's refresh this. We just loaded this up. And if we would run a compile job from here, it will actually ask us for the first name, last name, age, and override parameters. In this case, we're going to run it from the command line. So the parameters are specified in this hash table. So we have the first name is me, is Ben. Last name, Glens. My age, 21. Override, true. So let's load this up. And we will start the Azure compilation job with the parameter specified. So let's run that. Now, what we need to do is wait for the compilation to finish. And because this will take some time, I will pause the recording for now. And the compile job has finished. Let's look at if the compile job was finished successfully. And as you can see, it completed. Let's have a look at the job parameters. We can see the value specified in our hash table actually bound to the correct parameters. So we have an age, first name, last name, and the override specified. If we look at the job output, we see no real exceptions here. So this compilation went through fine. A quick look in the portal, we also see the compilation job to be completed successfully. And we can have a look at the input here as well. So let's move on to a more complex one, where we have sensitive data. If we open up this configuration, we will see that we have an input for username and password of type string, both mandatory. And the username and password will be used to create a credential object. And that credential object will be used to populate the password for this new user to be. So again, we're going to import this into our automation account. And we're going to specify the parameters. So the username Ben and the password welcome01. So we load up that hash table. And let's start another compilation job. And again, we will wait for a bit. So I'll resume recording once the compilation is done. So the compilation job is done. Let's have a look at the output of the compilation job. And this time, we don't have an end time, but we have an exception. What is actually happening here is that a normal DSC compilation error is thrown. If we would compile on our local system using credentials, and we wouldn't specify any certificate to encrypt those credentials, this same error would be thrown. So what we need to do to fix this is either specify a certificate to encrypt the values, or we specify some configuration data in which we specify that for localhost in this case, the plain text passwords are allowed. So let's do that again, load it into memory, Start another compilation job and wait it out. It's good to know that the MOV files compiled in Azure Automation desired state configuration are actually encrypted at rest. So there's no need for you to go in and use a certificate for this compilation if you're only worried about the MOV files when they reside within Azure Automation. So once a DSC node actually pulls in that configuration, it will be decrypted by the service. It will be transferred over HTTPS to the node, or the node will get it over HTTPS actually. Then it will be encrypted on disk on the node itself using DPAPI, so also no need for certificates there. But if you want to be really really sure about which nodes could actually read those credentials, then of course you need to specify certificates to do the encryption part. But if you're only worried about the secrets as they are stored at the service or on the node, then there's no real worry there anymore. You need to be root at Linux, or you need to be an administrator in Windows to get to the configuration directory where the configurations are stored. Let's pause the recording again and see when the compilation is done. And the compilation was actually done straight after I paused the recording. So let's have a look, and this time it completed successfully. So let's have a look in the portal, and first off we see the suspended job where we didn't specify any configuration data, so we didn't allow the service to go on with compilation without us specifying that plain text parsers are actually allowed. And the second one where we see that we have the configuration data also specified. So in our next example, we're again using credentials. This case, we're going to use the PS credential as a parameter type. So let's see how to deal with that. First off, let's import it into the service. And one would figure that we would just specify a new credential and pass it along with the start Azure RM Automation DEC compilation job commandlet. So let's try that first. So we specify a new hash table with a credential key, and it will have this value of a credential object, as you can see here. Now, let's again give it also the configuration data, because we're dealing with credential types in the configuration, so we need to inform the service that plain text passwords are okay. And let's wait it out for a bit again, and I'll pause the recording again. And the compile job is finished. Let's have a look at the output. And again, we see an exception. That's because we cannot actually provide a PS credential object in this way. So if we have a look at how the job parameters got transferred, we see a password of, well, not really a password anymore. How should we deal with that? When a PS credential parameter is specified within a configuration or in a runbook in the Azure Automation account, one would actually have a credential asset in the service already, which can be referenced. So let's create one of those assets using the new Azure RM Automation credential commandlet. In this case, we call it mycreds, and we specify the same credential object as we tried to use just a bit earlier. So now we created that new credential asset. And what we're going to do now, instead of providing the start Azure RM Automation DEC compilation job commandlet with a credential object, we're going to give it a string of mycreds, and the service will associate it with the credential asset in the service itself. Again, we start the compilation and we wait for it, and the compile job has finished again. Let's look at the output, and no exception this time, so it completed successfully. If we look at the job parameters, we can see that we actually specified the string, but it got resolved by the service. So if we go and have a quick look here, we can see that our configuration script was loaded in, and we can see the second compilation job actually resulting in the node configuration here. So in our next example, we're going to use the assets directly from within the configuration. So we're not going to specify parameters anymore. We're just going to load up variables and credential assets from the service itself. So again, we're going to create a new user and we're going to use a string in the my user name variable or in the my username asset. And we're going to use the credentials specified in the credential asset we just created. So two variables here. For this, we're going to use the commandlets, which are native to Azure Automation. Once running in a runbook, get automation PS credential and get automation variable. All right. So first off, we need to still create that asset my username and give it the value Ben. And we don't want to encrypt it. So that variable asset now has been created. Let's import the configuration. And again, we're going to specify the configuration data because of the unencrypted passwords that will reside in the resulting MOF file. Compilation has started. Let's wait for it again and see you after it's done. And the compile job again is finished. If I look at the results, so we don't have any exceptions, it completed successfully. So in this case, a configuration using Azure Automation assets directly from the Automation Account Asset Store, which is of course a great reuse of those assets if you already use them with your runbooks, and it will provide you with a nice way of reusing those credential assets, variables, etc., both in your node configurations and in your runbooks. So what you've seen until now were configurations using the inbox DSC resources, and what we're going to do now is going to use a DSC resource called DSC resources in the NX module. That's for Unix systems, which are not in the automation account by default because they don't come with Windows Server with WMF5. So first off, we're going to need to download that resource module. And we're going to use the PowerShell gallery to find it. And now it has been found, let's have a quick look at the resulting variable. You can see here that the module has been found. We're going to save it into our working directory. What we need to do now is we need to compress the resulting artifact in a zip file in the naming standard of the automation account. So if you're used to desired state configuration pool servers yourself, you set up yourself, then there were some explicit rules on how to name your resource modules archives. But in this case, we just specify nx.zips because Azure Automation is expecting it in this format. So a little deviation there. And now we have compressed the resource module. We're going to upload it into an automation or in a storage account first. So our automation commandlets will actually have a URI to capture it from. So what we're going to do now is first we're going to create a new storage account in the same resource group as our automation account. We call it DSC modules. We use standard local replication and it's in West Europe. So let's create that storage account first. And now the storage account is created. We're going to create a container inside of it. We call it DSC modules as well. And we're going to specify the permission on the container level. So if you have a URI that leads to the container, you're good to go. But if you just have the URI to the storage account itself, then you won't be able to enumerate what's inside. So only if you have a direct URI, you can access it. So the container now is created. And what we're going to do now is that nx.zip we just created, we're going to upload it into that container. So let's run that. And we can have a quick look at the URI which has been generated for our uploaded nx.zip, as you can see here. So what we're going to do now is use the new Azure RM automation module commandlet to actually import that module from our storage account. We specify the name, nx, And we specify the content link. So this is the URI of the nx.zip in our storage account. Let's upload it like that. And now it is uploaded, actually the system will run some analysis on it and figure out if there are functions inside and stuff like that. Until that's finished, the module actually is not available. So what we'll do here is in a little while loop, we'll wait until the provisioning state is either successful or failed. And once that is the case, then our module will be available. And the import is done. I actually made a little typo here. It was not success, but succeeded. So I had to run it again for those observant ones. But as you can see, it succeeded eventually. And if we look now, we can see that the NX module version 1.0 with a certain amount of bytes has been imported successfully. So, and it says here to show you the portal experience as well. So let's do that. For that, we need to go into the assets. What we want to do is import a module. And what we're going to do here is we will browse the gallery. So we will import a resource module directly from the gallery. Let's do X-Active Directory. And we will import this module directly from the gallery like this. So in this case, the portal experience is way easier as the command line experience, because with the command line experience, you need to make it available on the web URI first. We can have a quick look at how this importing looks like from the portal UI as well. As you can see, it has it's extracting activities, as it's calling that. We won't see any activities because it's a DSU resource module, but once it's done, the DSU resources within this module are available to us. All right, so let's get back to the script. Now we have the Unix or Linux resource module available in the automation account. Let's create a configuration based upon it. So in this case, I have a configuration I used before in some other demos called Nginx. It will take some HTML data, which is nothing more as a string, and it will have a default hello world in there centered. Nginx is a lightweight web service, and we're going to use this configuration to install that lightweight web service on a Linux node and configure a cool web page with it. And that cool web page will have the HTML data as input. And also, we will force the Nginx service to be running. So that's the configuration. As you can see, I have specified here the node to be frontend. Usually, what you would see with desired state configuration is that node names would be used, like DC1 or localhost or something similar to that end. But in Azure Automation DSC context, that actually doesn't make a lot of sense, because node configurations are assigned server side. So a node won't go up to Azure Automation and say, hey, I want the configuration corresponding to my node name. But it will just say, hey, I take whatever you assign to me. And in this case, this is a web frontend. So that's why I specified frontend here. Okay, so the website we're going to use is specified here in this little HTML context. We will center Hello World. This Linux node is configured via Azure Automation DSC Smiley. And we will put in some imagery there as well. So let's load that up. Import the configuration into our Automation DSC account. And let's start compile. And in this case, you can see I'm going to create a hash table here at the parameter section and give it that HTML data. And let's wait for it a bit and see you after it's done. And the compile job is done. Let's look at the resulting object. And we can see we have a successful compilation again. So now we have a compiled node configuration for a Linux node. Let's assign it to one. In this case, DC Node3 is a CentOS 7.2 box already onboarded into my automation account. Let's get the public IP address of it. So first, what I need to do is I need to enable the root account on it. And this is necessary if we want to interact with the LCM over a SIM session remotely. And this is what we're going to do now. So I'm going to change into the root context. But by default, the root account has been disabled when provisioning through Azure. So what we will do is assign it a password. And the password will be root, which is a really bad password. And next we're needing, what we need to do is enable that root account as well. So now it is enabled, we can set up actually a SIM session. Because it uses a self-signed certificate, we're going to skip all the certificate checks, but we're still going to use SSL to communicate with it. So we set up a new SIM session option, and then we're going to set up a new SIM session through this IP address, giving it the SIM session option for skipping all that SSL stuff, and specifying the credentials here to be root and root password as well. And the authentication will be basic. So now we have a SIM session. Let's have a quick look. And you see we have established it. So now we have the SIM session available. First thing we need to do is go in and assign that configuration to that node. Let's do that to the UI first. So we here have the DSC node. Let's assign it the Nginx configuration, like that. Now it is assigned. Let's trigger the update. So we're using update DSC configuration commandlet straight from our Windows 10 box against this Linux node over that SIM session, which is pretty awesome if you ask me. And the reason we trigger the update manually right now is because we don't want to wait for the 50-minute interval of the LCM checking on itself. So we're forcing the node to check in with the automation account to see if there's a node configuration change for it. And indeed, because we just assigned it, there was one. And let's have a look if it converts all right. And there we have it, hello world. Exactly as specified in the configuration. So this node has converged into that new desired state using configuration compiled in the automation account using a non-inbox resource module. So that's the way to deal with that. Finally, one last thing which I want to show is actually a pre-compiled MOV file. So we compile the MOV file on our local system for, I don't know, for example, we use a certificate on our local system to encrypt those credential assets. We have given the node in question the private key, but we don't want to use the automation account to do the compilation for us in that regard. With that certificate or I don't know, it could be anything actually. So in this case, a really simple configuration, just specifying the telnet client to be present. So nothing really special here. So nothing special there. Let's load it into our current session and generate that node configuration. So we generated localhost.mov, so it's available on our local system. And what we're going to do now is we use the import Azure RM automation DC node configuration commandlet using that localhost.mov and giving it the configuration name as it is specified here. So let's do that. And this is the way to import a pre-compiled MOV file directly. And let's have a quick look in the automation account, where we can see now we have the node configuration, refresh, telnet.localhost. So it's imported there. And it will generate on its own an object corresponding to that node configuration, but it will actually not contain any code as it would need to run a compilation job with. So you can see here, it's just nothing. a placeholder. So that's it for this series, I guess, at least for now, until the automation team will provide us with all new, cool, nice to have capabilities. And until then, I hope you enjoyed this series. I hope it was useful for you, and well, see you next time.